This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are finally coming to an episode I've been hinting at, we've been postponing, about self-disclosure. In this episode, we're particularly talking about women and self-disclosure, but especially around things like abortion. I have seen this conversation play out lately. A lot of times we talk about it, even if we never use this term specifically, in the activism space or the advocacy space. So it is a bigger conversation than what we're having today. And today is kind of a more siloed personal one that I've been thinking about. And then the algorithm was like, you've been thinking about this. I was like, oh, no, I'm creeped out that you know that, but I have.
I know.
So just to put that out there, content warning, we are talking about sexual assault and trauma. Take care of yourselves. I don't think we're going to go too in-depth, but maybe more in-depth than we would normally go when we say stuff like that. So just to put that out there. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, and note, I have not read this, but a lot of quotes are about it, is that Britney Spears had a memoir come out recently, and there were some very upsetting things that she talked about and shared in it. And so I got served via the algorithm this article from Slate that was about self-disclosure and kind of the pros and cons of self-disclosure. And self-disclosure is essentially what it sounds like you're disclosing something about yourself. Well, okay, here's a quote from Slate. Sharing a mental health experience or a hardship like a pregnancy loss is called self-disclosure. You can self-disclose to a friend or family member or to the whole world. When it involves deeply personal details, though, it is far from easy and should be done with care. The aftermath of self-disclosure can include any emotion from joy to sadness to grief to anger. Telling your story in public, especially over and over again, has the potential to make anyone re-experience, even be re-traumatized by events of the past. So we're going to talk about that more in a second, but the quote goes on. Further, no one can control how others will respond to the disclosure. The person sharing may turn inward on themselves with negative self-talk as a result of someone else's take on their story, or a clicky headline cavalierly summing up their terrible experience. It's impossible to know what Britney is going through as her stories reverberate, though her most recent Instagram post might give us a hint that it's really, really tough, but I worry about her experience of self-disclosing such personal details, given that she has gone through so much and likely still is going through a lot. This concern is something I have for my own patients too. They are not global pop sensations, and most of them will probably never write a memoir, but many of them talk to me about a desire to share. I treat a lot of college students, and they are on TikTok and other social media platforms. Their posts can draw attention from people they do not know in person, and sometimes in unexpectedly huge numbers. So I was thinking about this, and it's kind of funny because I think I've had this episode planned for a while. So I think the episode I did that replaced this one originally, the happy hour, where I was just an anxious mess and I was talking about fan fiction and how I don't understand relationships at all, it kind of relates to that quote about like you can never, when people are interpreting or commenting on something that feels very personal to you and you getting hurt by that or confused by that, which is not really what happened. But I was shaken by it, is what I'll say. But one of the reasons I want to talk about this is when I was going on a trip with my friends recently, I got a text from my mom, and it was a really long block of text. My mom is, you know, not a typical texter. She'll occasionally text. It's not her way of communicating. She knows it's what I prefer. But it opened with, I read the book. And I immediately closed it. I was like, no. I cannot deal with this right now. Because it was a huge block of text. And I had to tell my friends what happened because I think it was clear, like, oh, wow, she's stressed out, whatever. And I was like, oh, she just texted me about the book. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to deal with it right now. Because you and I have talked about this, Samantha, for different reasons, for very different reasons, I will say. You and I kind of tried to hide this book from our family.
Technically, my family doesn't know still, or they haven't told me if they did.
Yes, we both, which is sad. I mean, it should be such like a happy, I want to share it with people. But for different reasons, we both were like, no, I really don't want that. And so I didn't tell her. She knew it was coming. She knew I had done it. She would ask about it, and I would be very vague. But then I think she just sort of, she looked me up online, and it was like, oh, here's the book. And I was like, oh, no. I guess I was there when she did it. And so then I had to be like, yeah, it's been out for a while. you know, it's fine. And she immediately ordered it. And then I kind of had this vague hope of like, maybe she won't read it. Like, maybe she'll just get it and never read it. But she read it. And she was so nice about it. I think it was like everyone had gone to sleep and I like was still awake and I read the text and it was very sweet. It was like a super kind, like bring tears to your eyes supportive text.
Aww. Yay.
But and she was like, I'm so proud of you. I can't believe who you've become. Like all of these things. But the reason I was so stressed about like her reading it was twofold. One was I've come out to her, but never like super clearly, if that makes sense. Like I've even said I'm asexual, but I think for some people that doesn't register as queer. That just registers as though she doesn't want sex.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I had done it. She's very supportive of that stuff. So I wasn't very worried about it, but it was just kind of a strange, like, I didn't really have this conversation with you. And then the other chapter was the rape kit chapter, where I talk about being sexually assaulted in college, which I never told her. Never. I did kind of hint at it in one conversation, but I never told her because I didn't want to talk about it. It's upsetting, clearly. Yeah. Like, I don't like talking about it. I thought she would blame herself. Mm. And then I was like, because my parents didn't want me to go to school in the city, which I think a lot of us can relate to.
Right.
And it's not that wasn't why this happened. But I was worried they'd be like, which is such a silly worry, but I was worried they'd be like, see, we told you you shouldn't go to the city.
Which has happened to people.
Yeah.
So legitimate.
Yeah. I think it was more silly, and I don't think my parents would have done that. I think that was more of a, I felt stupid and I don't like feeling stupid.
Right.
But they would have not done that, but I felt that way. And just the whole thing feels, and this is what I wrote. It's not, if you haven't read the book yet, it is not graphic in any way. It is not, that is not what I was going for at all. Because, and then what I describe is like kind of this feeling of like remembering a movie and just like being like, oh, well, that's what happens on college campuses, right? Oh, too bad. I shouldn't have done that. Which I thought was kind of really very upset. That is incredibly upsetting. But it's not graphic at all. But she had this whole thing in the text that was like, that never should have happened. I'm so sorry. And the first thing I wanted to text back was like, it wasn't your fault. No, why am I thinking like this? Ugh. But I was immediately worried that she felt bad. And so it was like a really supportive text. I feel guilty I didn't tell her and that she found out about it like that. But I thought it was pretty telling that my first thing was like, okay, I need to reassure her it's her fault. It's not her fault. Like, or else she's going to feel really bad and then it's going to be all my fault. And so I get this thing about self-disclosure and I was reading it and I was like, yeah, because I wanted to share that. But I think that's one of the things where it's complicated because you feel, we were just talking about this, some days you feel good with that and some days you don't. And I wanted to share in particular that instance because it wasn't, I mean, I never would want to share something graphic, but it was just sort of more of my feeling I had after than anything else. But I did feel like I had to share it. And that, I think that a lot of people do feel that. And it's unfortunate because if we don't have these conversations, we've seen like nothing happens. Or people don't know that it happens or what's going on. They don't know. But then when you do, when you get something like Me Too, when you have people who are finding this wonderful connection online and supportiveness online, it's also a pressure to do that. And then you can get re-traumatized. You can have people who are commenting on your story who don't know you. And it can happen at like any time. You could be just going about your day, scrolling through, I don't know, whatever you like to look at on social media. And then you see a comment that's like, oh, I don't believe you. Or there's some kind of comment that will upset you because you shared the story because you wanted to tell people the story and hopefully change things or help change things or help make things more clear. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So that happened, and my mom and I haven't talked about it yet. I was just telling you I put off calling her. That's part of the reason why. We haven't talked about it yet. Mm-hmm. I texted back and was like, thank you for reading it. I'm going on vacation. Because she was kind of like, take care of yourself, do something fun. And I was like, on it.
That's cute. I like that. It.
But when I was, it's been on my mind. And when I was in Vegas recently for work, I had this really cathartic dream. And I know people don't like hearing about dreams, but ultimately what happened is at the end, I was yelling at a friend like who was kind of hurting herself, sharing all of her pain with people. Like, you don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe anyone anything. And I woke up like, yeah, like I needed to have that that moment. And, you know, it's not that I regret it at all. I think it's just it's. It sucks. And you and I started this journey together as co-hosts talking about this stuff, like self-disclosing this very painful stuff. And we thought it was important and we talked about it. And we were very careful with each other, checking in on each other, like making sure, okay, how are you? How are you? How are you? So I think we did it well and we did it looking out and making sure we weren't doing something that would hurt us more than it was already going to hurt because it's painful. And I never, like, I don't know. I do try to share the things I feel more like I can handle this. And there are other things I just won't. I will never, ever share. And I think about that too, because I don't know if you remember this, Samantha, but I think it might have been the first conference we went to together, podcast conference in Orlando. Somebody in the audience asked us, like, where do you draw that line? Where is the line between, I want to share this because I think it's important. And also, I just want someone to know, versus thinking about your own health. But they also brought up, like, the health of the people in your life who might listen to it, how that might hurt. And I think that was a more specific family issue she was discussing. But I think about that a lot. I think about that quite a bit. And the answer is, you know, it's personal for everyone. It can change. I do think it's worth examining why you want to share it and really thinking about what it will mean for, like, maybe the worst person to hear it. What would it mean? If it's out there, they could.
Right.
I don't know. It's complicated.
Right. I mean, I think it was interesting because it was set for the four of us, the podcast host from Ethically Ambiguous, who are great people, Shireen and Anna. And we did. Because we were talking about very personal stories, both of us, both the shows, because we had began, again, like we talked about our trauma series, I was going through a lot of trauma. And it's interesting when I think about how far we've come through in understanding our limits. Mm-hmm. And I've learned this as I've gotten older, because in college, as a very heavy Christian teacher, I taught testimonies are the way to go. And the harsher the story is, the more likely you're going to get engagement and people will trust you.
Yeah.
It's literally a voyeuristic field day for people to hear those who have gone through the worst things, cancer, drugs, rape, murder, like any of those things. And as an adoptee, people love hearing my pain. And then people love hearing white people have saved me. And I was a circus show to prove the value of Christian saviors. And I never realized it because I was so engulfed in feeling guilty in having survivor's guilt, and we've talked about this so many times, that I owed my life by sharing this these stories. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that guilt. In order to be taken seriously, in order to be taken seriously by the crowd of me proving that I have faith, I had to share the most personal stories to the point that I worried that people were going to think that I'm lying.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about this. You're probably going to talk a little more about this in a bit. But, like, there's so much to this conversation of who you're doing it for. And as a person of color, realizing what it was for, realizing what my story was used for. And yeah, it included so much, like, it almost included a human trafficking level of conversation. And then again, like I've talked about in the book about the abortion chapter, about me being used as a scapegoat, me being personally told that I should be, of all people, pro-birth. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that I am a horrible hypocrite for not being so. And I bought into that until recently. I bought into that saying that, how could I be? You're so right. I owe this to the people who saved me. And the people who, quote unquote, saved me are the very people that I'm hiding the book from. Mm-hmm. I'm hiding my job from. They don't ask about my job other than, you still doing it? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the end. Mm-hmm. The fact that they have no clue. And I've hid it from people who I think would accept and be proud of what I've done, just because I don't want them to know. And not because I'm ashamed, but because I don't want to fight. And I don't want to feel even more separated from them. But it is, it's this level of, like, the self-disclosure of what people want to hear, the voyeuristic level of people thriving and knowing, well, my life wasn't as bad as hers, thank God. Yeah. Or she was a really big mess, and I'm so much better off than that, thank God. Or look at my people, what we did for her people. She should be so grateful. That's right. Which is one of the big comments that I've seen recently of adoptees who are trying to find their identity, criticizing their own upbringing, and therefore they are ungrateful monsters. And I've seen it. I've seen the comments, which is really hard for me to take because it's personal. But that's, again, like, that level of self-disclosure is like, at what point is it for them more so than for us?
Right. And that is something to think about when self-disclosing, because people, bad actors, will use your story perhaps in a way you do not want to prove a point you mm-hmm. did not mean. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly things that I have been like, okay, that's better off never being said. I'll keep that one to myself. And there is the worry of, like, oh, people won't believe this. I've definitely had people dismiss me because they're like, but you seem so okay. And I'm like,
right.
Okay. Great, I guess.
Well, now that you've said that, I'm fixed. Thanks for that.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right?
Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And one time I did, and I hate that I did this, but I just got so frustrated with somebody who was telling me, like, he just couldn't believe there was this level of sexual assault. And that's
every time
how I was like, well, let me tell you about all of this that has happened to me. And he, like, to his credit, was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. But I felt like that wasn't.
We shouldn't have to.
Yeah, I shouldn't have had to. And I wish I hadn't. Because I don't like that I told it in that way. It didn't feel like a choice. It felt like I was so upset it just came out. Like I didn't make the decision to disclose it. And that's one of the things, like going back to what that Slate article was saying, what they were sort of warning about was, you know, when you don't realize maybe the internet is forever, or a book is forever, and you do it, that maybe you won't, you'd wish you hadn't, or maybe you did it in like kind of an impulse thing and you didn't think it through all the way and wish you hadn't. I thought the book, trust me, I had many times I could have removed it. So that's not what happened there. But in this instance with this person I was talking to, I wish I hadn't done it like that. And there's also something that happens that you were kind of talking about, Samantha, that I experienced in writing this book. And I'm not saying it's even wrong, but I'm saying that it encourages you to self-disclose more, is that people would tell me, like, oh, that chapter was really powerful. That was so powerful. Right. And I'm glad. But then that makes you feel like, okay, well, then what else can I mine and talk about that would be powerful? And I'm not, to reiterate, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that I think that can put in your mind, like, okay, well, then I need to talk about the darkest thing that I can, because then I'll get, like, rewarded for it.
Right.
And as you were also saying, kind of not the same thing, but kind of, our internet algorithms also put that stuff in front of you. They are putting up that, they're giving it a boost. And so that's getting more traction than something that maybe isn't as upsetting. which is like kind of losing the whole picture of whatever you're talking about. And it can lead to that pressure once again to, oh, I've got to share my story then, even if you aren't in a good place to, even if it will cause you pain, and or you feel bad that you don't, because you're seeing like, oh, everyone else is doing it and they're getting all this, like, oh, you're helping people so much by sharing this and I'm not sharing it. So what does that say?
Right.
So it's just a mess in that way as well. but it's complicated, because it's also, I mean, we've talked about it. It is powerful to share those things, especially things we don't talk about a lot. And it's unfortunate that people have to. I just saw something about abortion, about that, because it's a lot of anti-abortion laws being proposed across the U.S. And people were saying, like, all of the people who have had abortions and these terrible experiences not being able to get abortions shouldn't have to share these stories, but it's kind of urgent, so and we need to know. So that's, once again, just sucks. It just sucks. Here's another quote from that Slate article. Further, self-disclosure can also open the door for more self-disclosure from others. You share your story with someone, then they share theirs with you. If you are still struggling with your mental health, you might not have the capacity to hold these kinds of responses. As powerful as it may be to know that your story made it easier for someone else to share theirs, you aren't their therapist, and their story might trigger components of yours. Trust me when I say that, as a psychiatrist, listening to other people's stories is one of the hardest things I do, and I am trained in it. So I want to include that not to discourage people from sharing their stories at all. But it is true that when, once again, sometimes you're going about your day and you get an email and you're like, oh no, it's about this. And it depends on your mental state. Some days that email will find me just fine. And it's up to me to know that. It's up to me to know that. Like, do not read this right now. You are not in the place to do this right now. But that is true, especially for someone bigger than you and I, like Britney Spears, where you're just getting bombarded by all of these things. And it's beautiful to share your story. And we always appreciate people who take the time to do it and the vulnerability of doing it. But I do think that's something also to keep in mind when you do self-disclose is people are going to want to do so with you.
Right.
And be ready for that and have a plan for that.
Right.
To protect yourself.
Yeah. I think there's another point I will say, like, as a person who had a bad habit of this, because I'm not good at fake answers. Mm-hmm. So if you asked me how I was doing and I'd say I'm not very good and they'll be like, how's work? And I'm like, well, do you really want to know? And then telling someone, like, I've been called out being like, you are telling too much. We don't want to hear that, because my job was that. On a constant level, where I had story after story after story of heartbreak and trauma and all these things, there's this level of like, yeah, I get it. You don't want me to talk about this. I'm trying not to. But also, if you're friends with someone who works in that field, don't ask if you don't want to know.
Right.
Like, just as much as you think that, you know, you might know, you probably don't. So be aware of that. Also for those who live in that world, it's hard to separate it from everything else. And self-disclosure in that, this is also why people don't go out a lot or try to hang out with people within their own groups. And then when they're in those groups, if you are not from that world's going to traumatize you. So beware. I speak from experience, in which we really would have to try to tone it down, but sometimes it was hard. It's hard. It's hard when you live in a world of trauma. And I say this for those who work in hospitals, who are teachers, who are social workers, who are all these different things, nurses, doctors, all the things. If you were living in a conflict-torn world, if you have family in that world, if you have people that you know in that world, it's going to be hard not to hear it. So there does live like a middle ground of privilege and a responsibility as well. So like it's like, yes, for those of us who are self-disclosing, be aware that things are happening around the world that not everybody wants to hear about all the time, but also for those who have never had to deal with that, lucky you, maybe it's time for you to hear that side as well. But yeah, it's really hard. It is. And that therapist being 100% correct, well, like, if you're not ready to hear it, you might not want to disclose it.
Yeah. That's mostly the point I'm making because we're in a public space.
It's hard though.
So if we talk about it, people are going to respond to it. That makes sense. So you just have to be ready.
You've got to be ready
for that.
And if you know your friends are in a volatile state, asking, are you okay? Not probably the way to go if you don't want to hear it.
Yes. But also to reiterate, like, you listeners have been great. There's nothing you have done or said. There's no target of this. It's just something I found interesting. when it comes to being in this space and sharing stuff like that and hearing from other people. Ultimately, it was sort of like I waited to respond to my mom, but I did read it within the day and I did respond.
Proud of you. I know that was nerve-wracking.
It was. But I'm also like, she read the book. That's so sweet.
That's so kind. Thank you for reading the book. She bought it and read the book. Thank you. Again, more than anybody from our company has done. So thanks.
My mom is a sweetie. Well, yeah, those are some thoughts on self-disclosure. Like I said at the top, this is a very specific, like there's a lot of realms of self-disclosure. This was a very specific one.
Right.
A very personal one. But I'm sure we'll probably come back in the future to talk about it. But in the meantime, listeners, if you have any thoughts about this or any other topics we should talk about, you can email us at stephmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at @StuffOneNeverToldYou. We have a TeePublic store and we do have a book. Yes, you can get it wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.